Hello, my name is Paul Weatherly. I hope you're going to enjoy this book on the business environment that's been put together by Doran Otter and myself with the help of a team of contributing authors. This introduction is called Business and its Environment in a Globalising World. And the aim of the chapter is to introduce you to the idea of business and the concept of the environment and the globalising world. All of these are not straightforward terms or concepts. The book is organised into two parts. In the first part of the book, we deal with the business environment as multidimensional or complex, involving economic, technological, political, legal, social, ethical, and environmental dimensions. And this theme of complexity is one of the eight themes of the book. In the second part of the book, we deal with a number of key issues in the contemporary business world. The eight themes that run through the book are analytical tools that help you to analyse the nature of business and its environment in the world today. And these themes, which are introduced in the introduction, are firstly that business is diverse. For example, one of the key themes of the book is that business encompasses both the public and the private sector. Secondly, the book talks about the environment of business as having both an internal and an external dimension, although the main focus of the book is on the external environment in which business operates. Thirdly, as I've already mentioned, the business environment is complex. It involves a number of dimensions. It's not simply economic. Fourthly, we deal with the environment of business at a number of spatial levels or scales, from the local through to the global. And globalisation, as you see from the title of the book, is one of the key themes that we study. Business in a globalising world. Fifthly, the environment is, of course, dynamic, and businesses must respond to constant change. The sixth theme is the idea of interaction, that businesses influence and are influenced by the environment in which they operate. Seventh is stakeholders. To understand business, we need to think about business in terms of the various stakeholders that have an interest and sometimes a voice in business decisions. And finally, values. And very importantly, the debate about business in society involves contested values about what we want business to do, what its role in society should be. So in this chapter, we look at the idea of a globalising world. We look at what we mean by business, embracing both the private and the public sectors. We say a bit about the environment in which business operates and how that's conceptualised. And we mention at the end some aspects of environmental analysis or some tools of environmental analysis. So starting with the idea of a globalising world, the title of the book is Theme: Business and its Environment, Themes and Issues in a Globalising World. The idea of a globalising world refers to the phenomenon of globalisation as a process, not as a condition, but as something which is ongoing, a process involving increasing interconnectedness and interdependence between nation states. Fundamentally, this is an economic process driven by business decisions and behaviour. For example, in terms of trade in goods and services, financial flows and investment decisions. So globalisation is both driven by business and constitutes the environment in which it operates. But it's also important to recognise that globalisation isn't an inevitable or inexorable process, an unstoppable process. It's something which is shaped by political decisions and is in many ways a political choice. And in recent years we've seen something of a backlash against globalisation and an increasing recognition by politicians, such as in the UK and in international organisations like the International Monetary Fund, that globalisation isn't working to benefit all people and that decisions need to be made to ensure that the benefits of globalisation do reach all people. So this is a debate that's often couched in terms of concern with the so-called left behind, people who don't feel that globalization has benefited them politically. And perhaps we've seen an expression of this kind of concern in political events like the vote to leave the European Union in the UK in 2016. When we think about business, there are a number of ways in which we might use that term, so it's important to clarify those, and this is something that we do in the first chapter. Most obviously, we tend to think about business in terms of a specific or particular business organisation or firm. So that's one use of the term business. Secondly, we might think about business in terms of a type of economic activity engaged in, the type of good or service produced, or the sector of the economy. Thirdly, business is often used in terms of referring to a particular legal form of business, such as the public limited company. Fourthly, we might think about business more generally, more widely, in terms of the business system as a whole. So here we might think about the business system in terms of capitalism or the free market, or the notion of the way the public and private sectors are combined in a mixed economy. So these are different ways of conceptualizing the business system. And finally, fifthly, we might think about business in terms of the business community. And this is the idea that those who are in charge of business, those who own and control businesses, form a distinctive group in society, perhaps with shared goals or interests, for example, that might be expressed through organisations like the Confederation of British Industry in its dealings with government. In this book, we adopt a broad definition of business. And this involves the idea that business is basically to do with dealing with the problem of scarcity in society. Business is concerned with allocating resources between competing ends or uses, so different types of production. And in this sense, business can be seen to embrace both the public sector and the private sector. So we don't, in this book, think about business purely in terms of the private sector, although the private sector does dominate societies like the UK. So business involves the transformation of inputs, what we might call factors of production, into outputs in terms of goods and services to meet the particular needs or wants of people in society. In other words, consumers. And those decisions about the transformation of inputs into outputs, the allocation of resources, can be made through both the public and the private sector. So we do often equate business with the private sector, but that's not an approach that we take in this book. The private sector, though, is dominant within our economy, but to see business just in terms of private sector organisations is a narrow conception of business. Production, we have to recognise, can be organised in different ways, and the balance between the public and private sectors is a political choice that we make as a society. And we've seen this come back onto the political agenda in the UK, with the Labour Party putting forward proposals in the 2017 general election for renationalisation of some industries such as the railway industry. Looking first then at the private sector. In capitalist market systems, most business is in the private sector. Private ownership is the dominant principle. And as I've said, this reflects a political decision that we've made and continue to make as a society, that that's how we want our economy to be organised. The private sector is characterised by production of commodities for sale in a competitive market with the prime objective of making a profit. So competition and the profit motive are the two key drivers of business behaviour. And the profit motive means that businesses produce goods and services that consumers are willing to pay for at prices that yield a profit. That is the purpose of business in the private sector. Competition and the profit motive produce important benefits to society. Arguably, they encourage firms to be responsive to consumers and to constantly strive to improve efficiency. But there are also downsides. For example, firms are not interested in you unless you have money in your pocket. And firms may cut costs by polluting the environment, or they may produce harmful products. So these and other problems have stimulated debates about corporate social responsibility, about the role of government and the public sector. When we look more closely at the private sector, we see that the main characteristics, the idea of a free market, the idea of competition, the idea of the profit motive, are all more complicated than they appear on first glance. So when we think about the free market, there is really, strictly speaking, no such thing as a free market. All market systems or capitalist economies are characterized by important roles taken by governments, for example, in regulating business activity. So we have this question about the balance between the free market and government regulation. Secondly, the idea of competition has to be balanced with recognition of market power exercised by large companies. And thirdly, as already mentioned, the idea of the profit motive needs to be balanced with debates about corporate social responsibility, or if you like, non-profit objectives that firms might be expected to pursue. The chapter then goes on to look at the public and voluntary sectors, which provide alternative mechanisms for dealing with the problem of scarcity in society. Providing goods and services, in other words, on a not-for-profit basis. So, for example, as a society, we have decided in the UK that healthcare should be on the basis of equal treatment for equal need, rather than whether a person can afford to pay for the treatment. So the public and private mix in the contemporary economy is a continual focus of political controversy and debate. Towards the end of the chapter, we move on to looking at the environment of business, and I've already mentioned that within the book we see the environment of business as complex and multidimensional, and the seven chapters in the first part deal with the various dimensions of the environment of business. In this chapter, we also conceptualise the environment of business in three ways. Firstly, in terms of the spatial level, from local to global, and as I've said, that's one of the themes of the book. Secondly, we talk about the immediate or day-to-day environment of business and the general or wider environment. And thirdly, we talk about environmental uniqueness, the idea that, to some extent, each firm operates in an environment that's unique to it and its particular characteristics. Finally, the chapter looks at some aspects of the interaction between business and the environment, again an important theme of the book as a whole. And here we talk about, firstly, responsiveness, that firms have to respond to the business environment and its dynamic character, the fact that it's changing all the time. Secondly, firms seek to influence the environment, and they do so directly and indirectly. And thirdly, the interaction may take the form of choice of the environment, and this links up with the theme of globalization, in the sense that globalization presents multinational corporations with the option to locate in a context, an environment that they find favourable or beneficial to their operations. The chapter finishes with some discussion of environmental analysis. If businesses are to operate successfully in their environment, i.e. in the private sector, to make a profit, that requires understanding of the environment and the way it's changing and the way it presents both opportunities and threats to the business. So businesses face uncertainty. They've got limited knowledge about the environment and the future, but environmental analysis can help to fill the knowledge gap and guide business decisions. So in this chapter, we look briefly at three important analytical techniques. Firstly, PEST, which looks at the environment in terms of political, economic, social and technological dimensions. Secondly, SWOT analysis, which analyses the environment in terms of the strengths, the weaknesses, opportunities and threats. And thirdly, stakeholder analysis. So, I hope you enjoy reading this chapter. It should give you a good idea of the approach of the book as a whole and these key ideas of the business, what we mean by business, what we mean by the environment, and what we mean by a globalizing world.